your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
The author conversation or interview that we're having this morning is with Shabnam Khan, whose latest book, How I Accidentally Became a Global Stock Photo, is a part memoir, part travelogue. So heartwarming, so delightful, so absolutely touching. I'm very excited to welcome her to the show and say thank you so much for your time, Shabnam. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me here today.
It is an absolute pleasure. I first came across your story listening to an NPR interview years ago where you talk about how, you know, in your varsity days, you set yourself on a trajectory that, unknowingly, of course, that would lead to your face being found all over the world, used for all sorts of campaigns, promotions, and yeah, as you say, as the title of the book alludes to, how I accidentally became a global stock photo. Talk to us about that particular story and just, I guess, that anecdote, as it were, which I'm so aware that you treat with such equanimity now, but which I imagine threw a real spanner in the works when you first realized that your image was being used the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I read about it in the book. I was sitting one day at university. I was teaching at the University of KwaZulu-Natal at the time, and someone said, you should go and see something on your Facebook wall. And a friend had found a photo of me promoting immigration in Canada in a newspaper in Canada. And I was like, why am I in this advert, you know? And I went to the phone, the paper in Canada. And my basically another friend reminded us that we'd done a photo shoot a few years ago in Durban, and these photos looked like it had come from there.
Ah.
And I found out that I'd done this photo shoot where I thought it was for an art project for the photographer, but he basically took our headshots and sold them as stock photos, and I didn't know. And so when I contacted the photographer, he said, yeah, you signed a document,
yeah,
and your photo is now sold everywhere. And when I did a reverse Google image search, I found these my photo in like adverts for teeth whitening cream and under eye cream and leading Cambodian treks in Cambodia and matchmaking websites and teaching websites, and it was just crazy and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then over time, I found that they changed my name, so it was testimonial saying like I was Dina M trying this face product because after her pregnancy she had acne, and they could Photoshop my skin, so they put acne on my skin and then they clear out it in the next photo. You know, sure. It's just getting to a point of ridiculousness, you know. And that's when I contacted the photographer and I said, I didn't know that I'd signed up for this, you know.
Yeah.
And I just felt foolish at the time and I was laughing at it because it was funny. But as the years went by,
yeah,
I was like, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. I'm being used. I'm not even being paid for any of this, you know.
Yeah.
And eventually I got him to take it down. But the photo's still, like someone just sent me a few days ago. It's on a highway in Mumbai, you know.
Oh, my.
So it still keeps popping up now and then.
So in many ways, Shabnam, how your picture traveled around the world, in many ways feels to me like, you know, precursor or a sign of, you know, things to come, what your own life would essentially do, because your book, How I Became a Global Stock Photo, is a memoir, it's a travelogue, and so much, you've traveled far and wide, you've had some really gorgeous adventures that you detail in this book so beautifully and so tenderly as well. And it almost feels as though, you know, this your image sort of, you know, cleared the way for you to have these amazing adventures, these serendipitous meetings, these serendipitous, you know, travels. Are you able to view it in that light?
I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, firstly, thank you for the kind words about the book. I don't know. I take it to be as such that this is one of the stories of many of the stories. So I don't know if I feel like it led the way. I just feel like it helped me get it published in the sense that I was sharing all these stories. This was the most popular story. And you know, the publishers approached me and said, why don't you put this together in a collection in a book, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, I think it did help that, but I always feel, and I feel like that from the time of childhood, you know, like you've got to look at your life as an adventure.
Yeah.
And you've got to be open to all the different experiences and the different people you meet. So I think this helped it along, but I do think like it's still going to be one of many stories, hopefully.
Well,
not terrible stories, good stories. But yeah, I do see it as a part of a series of amazing things that can happen when you open yourself to any experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you seem to have done so well and so bravely, right? Even though, you know, as you read the various stories, your adventures in your book, of course you feel fear, you feel anxiety and you talk about it. But, you know, the underlying thread, that golden thread through all your stories and your travel and your memoir is a sense of adventure that I think, am I right to read, snuck up on you despite, and I don't want to call it a sheltered upbringing because it doesn't do what sounds like an incredibly supportive and loving family justice. But yeah, do you look back and think, my goodness, actually that sense of adventure, I never quite expected, or I didn't think this would be my life.
But, you know, I think you have it right there when you say, it was quite a sheltered upbringing, although loving, but sheltered, you know. And I did struggle with that. I don't know if it comes across in the book, but I did struggle with, like, I need to break free.
Yes.
But I'm also grateful for the upbringing that I've had and the support that I've had. But I also need to figure out who I am, and I need to, and it's harder when people don't want to let you go. And you're like, I actually need to go and live in this village, and I actually need to go and figure out who I am and see who I am. I mean, I feel like that's the right way of putting it. It was sheltered, but it was loving.
Yeah.
And it certainly helped me fight a little bit more for what I felt like I needed to do. And it made it harder, but it also made me want to do it. So I'd be insisting, I need to travel on my own. I need to have these experiences. I'm not going to grow if I don't do this.
Mm.
So I think reading a lot as a child really instilled in me that sense of, like, you have to go and experience life, and you have to figure out who you are if you want to be living the kind of life that you want to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously a large part of the appeal of travelogue, not just memoir, are those instances, those insights, right? That's the sun peeking through the clouds at odd times, at unexpected times or unexpected occasions. And that happens throughout the book, whether you are meeting people in New York and, you know, you are in this high powered sort of party and networking event, and you realize actually, yeah, maybe these aren't my people and this is not my scene or my tribe, and this is the thing that works for me, rather, you know, or finding yourself dealing with the specter of ghosts and apparitions on a writer's retreat somewhere in the desert in the US. Yeah, it really, really is interesting.
Like, if you only go out and have those experiences, no matter how scary they are and how terrifying they can be, that's the only way you're going to figure out who you are, or like how you're going to react in the situations.
Yeah.
And also maybe how you can fail yourself, but also how you can bring yourself up, you know. So you have to go out and have those experiences. And I think the older you get, the more scared you get. Like, I'm still scared to go out. I'm still scared to, like, travel.
Yeah.
And especially now with the pandemic, I think those fears are even exacerbated.
Of course.
But the book is a reminder to me, as much as anyone else, that if you don't get out of your comfort zone and if you don't go out and try things, you're never going to really know who you are fully.
Yeah.
And to exist in this world happily, you have to, you know.
Yeah. Well, Shubnam, I just want to congratulate you and thank you as a reader for, as I said earlier, this, like, really tenderly written but just fierce-spirited work of memoir and travel and adventure. And it was such a delight reading it, and it was so sad putting it down. And the cover is also delightful because you arranged your own photo shoot in this instance because of lockdown, because of COVID, and you said, do you know what? Photographers be damned. I'm going to do this myself. And it turned out beautifully. It really, really
did.
Thank
you so much.
But we also invited you on the show today, not just to, praise or rain down these praises on you, but to also, we've asked you to give us some recommendations, some suggestions of some titles that you think are definitely worth our time. And the very, very first one is, the very, very first one is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. Tell me about that book.
Yeah, I just I don't know if it's a book for everyone, but I loved it. It's just, especially I think now in the time that we in, you know, with the pandemic going on, I picked up this book and I just saw haunting, and I like those kind of like bleak landscape books.
Yeah.
And I realized it was written in 2014, but it was about life after a pandemic, you know. And it in the beginning when I started the book, I was like, this is so disturbing because it was so familiar, you know. It was, everybody starts getting sick, and then in this, but also in a sense later on, as I read in the book, it became more comforting because we never had that extreme experience, thank God, you know.
Yes.
That was like almost in that book where almost like 3/4 of the world was wiped out, and they need to start off from the beginning. So it's almost like you're back to basics, you know, no electricity, wagons, these kind of gang wars that emerge, and these. And the book is written in such a like a haunting, strange way, like that it tells a story through different characters. But the one is like this traveling group of performance artists,
yeah.
And they travel. So they take you kind of through this landscape, this very daunting, dark landscape where people are trying to survive, you know.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was unlike anything I'd read before, which is, I've been reading a lot recently, so this has just kind of shocked me. And it's the way she's, the language she kind of uses, which is, you know, very dystopian. And, I just thought it was amazing. For me, it was a really amazing book. And that if you like things like The Walking Dead, and not so scary, but that kind of bleakness.
Yes. Then this is for you.
You know, it's really about reinvention. Like, how do you reinvent yourself when the world ends? And who do you want to become? And, like, people who were famous before, you've got a famous actor who's, like, no one anymore in the end, you know? Because it takes you back to the basics. I love all dystopian things. If anyone speaks to me will tell you, I love zombie stuff. I love dystopian stuff because I think at the end of the day, it really is about facing who you are. And who am I at the end of the day when you cut everything, when you cut all the layers away, when you cut all the fancy things that you don't need, and just at the end, who am I in my bones, you know? And I love when people face that question.
It's fascinating.
So, yeah.
It's fascinating the power of fiction to sort of to hold a mirror up to you, a person, a society, and as you say, create this process of examination, right? If the reader is open to all of that. But even something as, you know, trivial, even something not as trivial, but some, as you pointed out, this former star or celebrity who now has to contend. I mean, essentially, the world has ended, right? By any measurements.
Yeah.
But this person's still grappling with whether or not, or that previous status. And that's exactly what we're experiencing right now. The fact that so much is, you know, the experience in our context is calling on us to get rid of so much, or just to, you know, reprioritize it. But we're still holding on to things that aren't useful anymore. It's quite an interesting book that you bring up for us. The second title that you've chosen is Intruders. So that's a collection of short stories by Mohale Mashiekot. Tell me why this makes your list for today's conversation.
Yeah, no, I love the book. It's a collection of 12 stories about kind of, again, I'm choosing all the books about a strange future, but I suppose that's my escapism, right?
Exactly, exactly.
It's just about ordinary people who have ordinary experiences, you know, taxi drivers. And I think she just looks at the everyday and then takes it up a notch. So you've got like vampires and werewolves and a woman who stabs someone with a shoe and then grows wings, and undersea creature kind of woman with her child. And I just feel like she had a lot of fun writing these stories. And, you know, but she also deals with like serious themes like misogyny and the patriarchy and the class and power dynamics here in South Africa. And so for me, that was also something very new. And I just liked how you can see she's a storyteller, and it still deals with pertinent social issues that we're facing.
Yeah.
So I just love that I could get lost in it, but still be aware that this is a very South African story, and feel inspired by it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that point of it's still a very South African story and you can get inspired by it is so key. And I think that's I think that other golden thread in your own book, your latest book, How I Accidentally Became a Global Stock Photo, is quite often, you know, our literature and our books can be heavy, and to have those flights of fancy, you know, to have that frivolity sometimes, to have that vulnerability sometimes, to just be bare and emotional sometimes, or to be outrageously optimistic, whatever it is, and adventurous, really is so welcome. It really, really is beautiful to see, and to see that diversity and divergence of the types of stories and how they're treated. So refreshing and very necessary.
Yeah, and we should be able to enjoy what we write as well. You know, that sense of enjoyment should be there, and I really feel like that's there in Intruded.
Yeah, absolutely. Shubnam Khan, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you, and of course getting your own recommendations and book reviews as well. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Always a pleasure. We must do this again soon. I'm not going to pressure you for a new book and ask you when's the next one coming, because you know we love to do that. But when it does, we'll definitely chat.
I'm ready for that. I'm working on it.
So. Oh, lovely. Okay, that's good to hear. Author and artist Shubnam Khan, and of course her latest book is called How I Accidentally Became a Global Stock Photo. And of course you can check out Onion Tears. You can check out, you can just, you know, check out her work, check out her art, shubnamkhan.com.